Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to The Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
And here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes!
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, Score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most.
Better than most!
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And good morning and happy Saturday to you. Beautiful day on tap here in the Chicagoland area. And you have the scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. We hope today's show will be better than most, much like what we just heard in the intro. Barry Cronin, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Michael. It's a great day for golf. It's a great day for golf viewing, and it's great to be with a legend of the score, Mike Esposito.
Yeah, it's a great the first two for sure. We will definitely enjoy our outdoor activities today, and the PGA Championship so far so good. We're here on moving day at Kiawah Island, and a look atop the leaderboard, Barry, and we'll certainly talk tons about the PGA, but Phil Mickelson tied for the lead after the first two rounds with Louis Oosthuizen.
It's crazy, Mike. It's crazy. Cinderella story here developing here at Kiawah Island. Yeah, it's a great event. I think, you know, the PGA kind of snuck up on us this year, but Phil is almost 51 years old. And I think it's going to be a terrific weekend for viewing as well as a terrific weekend for playing golf because the weather's good.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I know the leaderboard is stacked. Brooks Koepka, we talked about him in terms of his health and playing his way into this weekend on previous week's shows, but he's sitting pretty there, one shot off the lead at 4-under and really striking the ball, 69-71 his first 2 days.
Yeah, Brooks, you know, we sort of thought Brooks was out of it because he didn't play. He was hurt at the Masters, and he's still hurt. He's still not being able to bend his knee at times, you know, when he's looking at putts or whatever. But, you know, he's a tough character, and he's playing real well. So he came alive yesterday and made a few long putts. He made that 41-footer for eagle. And followed it up with a birdie. So he's on fire. He shot 71 yesterday, only one other par under par. But, you know, there aren't a lot of low numbers out there.
No.
You know, if you just look at it, I you know, like 67 is the lowest number shot, you know, in the first couple of days. So, you know, it's been windy. It's very, very windy out there. It was more windy yesterday than it was on day one. So it's going to be interesting to see now that they've cut the field. It'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I was noticing that this week the cut was at 5 over par, whereas last week it was at 5 under par down at Craig Ranch down outside of Dallas. So it's a different animal this week, and clearly this golf course more subject to right on the Atlantic Ocean, Kiawah Island in South Carolina. So it's clearly opposing a different challenge to the guys.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't know about you, Barry, but and we talked about this a little last week. This to me is much preferable to, you know, everyone shooting 10 under par for the tournament when you have the tougher course, the tougher conditions. I mean, me personally, as somebody watching, I like it this way. I want to see these guys challenged. And you mentioned it. It's extremely windy out there. Watching the tournament or watching the highlights and you see the flags whipping, this is a different kind of golf than what you got in Dallas last weekend or what you would get here in Chicago.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it just depends. It's really, it's kind of like, I like the attitude that the British Open takes, which is we really don't care how low you score, because everybody's playing the same golf course. So, you know, for example, when you go to St. Andrews, if the wind doesn't blow, they'll all shoot super low. They'll all shoot in the low, mid to low 60s. But then wind is the defense there in Scotland and right on the water. And they play and they tend to, you know, when the wind comes up, they, you know, they can have problems. They can shoot higher. Hey, you know, and hey, Mike, I think I just wanted to give a shout out, and you'll be happy to hear this. As you know, at the PGA Championship, there are 20 PGA club professionals who compete for spots in the event. You know, it used to be 50 club professionals. This is back in the day. But two of them made the cut. But most important is the one of them who made the cut is a native of the Chicago area and a Hersey High School graduate.
Absolutely.
Brad Merrick made the cut. He's tied for 32nd now. He's two over par at 146. He went to Hersey High School, played his college golf at Indiana, was 10 years on the mini tours, where he had 15 wins on the mini tours, you know, like the Dakotas tours and various other ones out there, Hooters. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that used to be a big one.
Sure.
But now he is retired from that, and he now runs a junior golf academy out in Northern California. And so apparently, you know, he's been teaching the kids to those kids who want to go to play college golf. He is an instructor at an academy, at his own academy there. So, but now he's having a great week at the PGA. So that's terrific. I just wanted to give a shout out to Brad.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. 73-73. That is the high school that is right here by the family, by the old Esposito estate. So we will, we'll be seeing lots of Hersey High School in the coming year. So a cool local connection with Brad Merrick and 73-73. Puts him in a clump, tied there for 32nd, as you mentioned, plus two. Still what, seven shots back. Colin Morikawa, who won last year, just one shot better there at plus one after 2 days. So lots of moving. You also have Bubba and Will Zalatoris there at plus one. I wonder, with the conditions and the wind, and you mentioned the playing conditions, Barry, and we talked about both the Kiawah Island and all the wind and how it is at the British as well. What chances, you know, how likely it is that your guys down here at plus one, plus two can crawl back into this as the under par scores are not that great so far this week?
Well, Mike, it's a really good question. I was thinking about it last night. I think now that the field has been cut and it took 5.5 hours for them to play on Thursday. That's a long time. I mean, that's a really long time, and not exactly an example to our listening audience.
Yes.
who hates slow play. And the same thing happened yesterday because there was so much wind. It's just very difficult to play in those conditions. But now that the field is cut in half, it'll depend on the weather conditions. But I wonder if they won't on Saturday. Move the tees up and perhaps make it a lot more scoreable of a golf course in order to bring some of those players back in. Who knows? And you don't know, but what we do know is that the setup man for the PGA Championship is a guy named Kerry Haig. He's been doing it for many years, and he's the most respected setup guy in golf. I think it'll be really interesting to see, and I tend to think that he will do that because it, you know, five under par, it is, there aren't that many guys that are, you know, as you say, even par is 20, you know, 25 players, so it's a possibility. you never know. And I think it would be more. I think they want to make it exciting on Saturday. Look at this leaderboard. I mean, as far as CBS is concerned and the PGA of America, to have Mickelson at the top of the leaderboard is a dream. Because without Tiger Woods, Phil is certainly, even at 50, he's going on, it'd be 51 next month. He is the name in this field. And there's nothing more that CBS and PGA would like than to have Phil at the top of the leaderboard. Having Brooks Koepka there is great, but he's not exactly Mr. Personality last time I checked. And and here's the other thing, Mike. Hideki Matsuyama, winner of the Masters, is tied for fourth.
Yeah.
And so if you can think about this. So he is tied for fourth. Let's just imagine for a second that it were Jordan Spieth or some other American star, right, who had won the Masters. We'd all be going insane over that, the possibility of him winning two majors in a row. Rather, and Phil, of course, would be there. But Hideki, because he doesn't speak English, because he's sort of an under-the-radar type player, we're not getting that, really. I mean, they'll pay lip service to it. But it's not a big A story because he's really not that big a media guy. And the one other thing I wanted to mention is when we brought up local players.
Yeah.
Kevin Streelman from Wheaton is T7. He, by the way, he was on the cover of CDGA, Chicago District Golfer Magazine, just
fantastic
in April.
Fantastic article.
It's as if somebody there knew what was going to happen and ordered up that story. You know, it's incredible.
Whoever is editing that really needs a pat on the back.
He's a savant. You know, what can I tell you? T7, 2 under par, Kevin. So it's great to see him doing well. Another guy in his early 40s who's getting it done. He's been playing well lately, and it's good to see. So
absolutely.
Yeah, and then, of course, Mike, we have our South African contingent. You have three guys in the top four who are from South Africa, which is interesting. Louis Oosthuizen, who's tied for the lead, and then you have Brandon Grace and Christian Bezuenhout. I always like watching Golf Channel to see how they pronounce that, so I can go, how do you say that? And those guys are Grace and Christian are tied for fourth.
I was going to leave Bezuenhout to you. That's definitely one. Well,
you just did it in the perfect announcer way, Mike. I'm envious of you. Now I know why you're the announcer in this crew.
Well, thank you, my friend. Championship Golf on the Score is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer, and this segment presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. And we do have a fantastic show for you today. Lots of PGA Championship talk, Barry. But our guests this hour include Tim Troy from Ziegfeld Troy Golf. We want to talk a little bit about the CDGA Golf Marathon fundraiser that's happening today. So that will be at Ziegfeld Troy. So we'll talk to Tim at 6:20. At 6:40, we'll talk to Jamie Wilson, most recently of the University of South Carolina, finished fifth in the SEC Championship, but he's getting the sponsor exemption from the Western Golf Association to play in the Evans Scholar Invitational at the Glen Club this week. So we will talk to Jamie. Interesting stories there. And you mentioned CBS, Barry, in terms of the PGA. We will talk to Dottie Pepper, the on-course commentator for CBS Golf. We'll talk to Dottie at 7 o'clock. Lots of PGA Championship. Lots with Dottie. She's a longtime legendary figure on the LPGA Tour. She was a 17-time winner, if you're wondering for the exact time. She also has a new book out called Letters to a Future Champion, My Time with Mr. Pulver. So looking forward to talking to Dottie Pepper at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. And then our Swing Thoughts segment, Ethan Rausch from Glen Club in Glenville will join us at 7:40. That's where the Evans Scholar Invitational is at, and we'll talk a little putting with Ethan. So a nice show, lots of PGA Championship stuff, Barry, and the fundraiser is today, the Golf Marathon fundraiser.
Yeah, that'll be fun to talk to Tim Troy, and people who like a little golf history are going to enjoy listening to Tim. He's a His family has been in that business for many, many years. His father started out in Chicago, and they're out in Woodridge now, and they run a great operation. So it'll be fun to talk to Tim. Just very, very knowledgeable and a really good man. So it'll be fun to talk to him.
Yeah, and you know, that's my kind of course. You know, in terms of, hey, I've got a few hours. Let's get in, get out. It's a 9-hole par 3 course in Woodridge. As you mentioned, Woodridge is the location now. But lots of things available there, lessons, practice range, mini golf, etc. And today's golf marathon, which I know you will be participating in, correct?
Oh, maybe. I might be out there. I think they're starting while we're on the air, so I think that might be hard for me to get out there by then, you know. We'll see. I may go out and cheer them on.
In one way or another, Barry, I have a feeling that you will be out there. How's that?
Exactly. Perhaps in spirit.
And certainly in spirit. Well, why don't we do this? Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we will talk to Tim Troy out at Ziegfeld Troy Golf. That is the site of the CDGA Golf Marathon fundraiser. So we will do that next. This segment also brought to you by Illinois PGA Professionals, experts in the business and game of golf. He's Barry Cronin. I'm Mike Esposito. More on the PGA Championship as well coming up. And Tim Troy joins us next on The Scorecard here on 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito, Marshall Tucker.
From South Carolina, Mike.
Yes, we are.
Keough Island is in South Carolina. Did we remind the audience of that? And therefore, we have a little South Carolina music this week.
A classic. That we always enjoy listening to. Marshall Tucker Band.
Can't you see? Yep.
We can. And we can definitely see the CDGA Golf Marathon fundraiser happening today. We'll talk to Tim Troy in a second. But first, Barry, and we definitely love promoting this, the CDGA website, cdga.org/contest. You can register to win a CDGA season starter pack. You'll get an Imperial hat, a towel, and a zero friction super tube with Spectrum Mat balls, tees, and a universal fit glove, everything you need to start the season. So head on to the website, cdga.org. Cool gift pack there that you can win. Also, I forgot to mention earlier, and shame on me, we are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Now it's time to talk about the CDGA Golf Marathon fundraiser. To do that, we head on out to the Alpamonte Nissan hotline. Alpamonte Nissan is in Melrose Park on North Avenue or at apnissan.com. And from Ziegfeld Troy Golf, Tim Troy joins us. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Barry. How are you doing, guys?
Good morning, Tim. How's it going? I know it's going great out at Ziegfeld Troy because it always goes great out there. Tell us what's been happening this year and what's happening today with the marathon.
Well, we're hosting our 13th CDGA Foundation Golf Marathon. They'll probably have 20 to 30 golfers playing 100 holes of golf to raise money for the foundation, which does great work. with physically challenged golfers and providing green fee scholarships for kids through Youth on Course, and doing other projects for the betterment of golf around Chicagoland. It's a really great, really great cause, and this year they're hoping to eclipse $1 million mark over the 13 years that we've been hosting the event here.
That's tremendous, Tim, and I know the CDGA thanks you for doing that. And your family has been involved in golf for, I guess, at least two generations. I don't know what your kids are doing, but your dad founded this, you know, what turned out to be Ziegfeld Troy. But tell us a little bit about the background of that and the great history of your family in golf in the Chicago area.
Well, my dad grew up on the south side of Chicago near Marquette Park. As a young man, he was had a real entrepreneurial spirit, and one of the things he did was he caddied every summer. It wasn't too long of a commute for him to go down to Beverly Country Club. He also would ride the trolley out to Cog Hill when that existed. If you talk to some old folks, that's really interesting to hear about. But he developed a love for the game, started playing golf, and in his late teens, he decided, hey, well, maybe I can get in this business. And lo and behold, not too far from his home in Marquette Park, there was land available where Maria High School now sits. And he had his first range there for 1 year. And the next year began a range at 71st and Loomis for a couple of years. And then eventually found out about a range that was for rent at 115th and Halsted in the Roseland area. And he spent almost 40 years there. That's where I grew up, where my brother Dennis grew up, who I work with here at Ziegfeld Troy. And 1976, made the move out here to Woodridge. And so I grew up the son of a golf range pro, driving range pro, and it's been a lot of fun. Golf has been my career for a very long time. So it's been a great blessing to me and a great blessing to my family.
Yeah, no, that is awesome. That you're able to kind of take the reins from your dad, and it sounds like your brother. It sounds like an entire family affair, and everyone's involved, and you were able to move out to Woodridge there, which I know is a beautiful area. And you're gonna have a lot of guys out there and gals, a lot of people golfing at the golf marathon fundraiser. You mentioned 100 holes of golf. So why don't you explain to our listeners who are not familiar with the golf marathon exactly what happens and how it works with all those guys and gals out there playing?
I think most people are familiar with walkathons, where folks go out and get pledges to do like a 20-mile walk for charity. It's the same concept. People go out who are going to play in the marathon. They go out and get pledges for each hole that they're going to play. During a marathon, and the goal is for each of them to play 100 holes of golf. And on a shorter course like this, it can happen pretty rapidly, and the players will play more than one ball at a time. So they can go around about 4 to 5 times playing 3 balls and reach the 100 hole mark in not too long a time and not end up with too many blisters on their hands and feet and have a great time while they're doing it.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard about those 100 hole marathons. I thought, good Lord, that's a lot of walking. Tim, I was just wondered, your course, you've got 9 holes, and mm-hmm. over the years, back in the day, which is not too long ago, really, 9 holes were looked upon as not sufficient a number of holes to play. It wasn't real golf, mm-hmm. and but now, in recent years, the USGA and other organizations have been saying, wow, well, people don't have enough time to play 18 holes all the time. And, maybe we should just play 9 holes. That's okay. 5 holes in some courses are doing shorter. So do you feel like you've kind of say, hey, I told you so?
I think my dad would be saying that, yeah.
you're too gentle a spirit to say it, I know, but your dad probably would say it.
It was my dad's goal in life. Being a driving range pro, he always looked forward to the day when he could have a golf course. And the year before he died, 1980, he was able to open our par 3 here. And he looked forward to having a real starter's course, especially for women, a place for them to get introduced to the game. And that's how we see our course specifically, Mike, is being a real entry door for people to the game of golf. You know, I'll run into people all the time that'll say, I played my first round of golf at your place with my dad when I was 7 years old.
And, yeah.
And I've actually run into that with Illinois PGA professionals. And that first started here a few years ago, and that really touched me when I heard that. I think, just think, a guy's career started by playing our short nine-hole par three course.
And you have a lot of junior programs too. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. We've got two junior leagues that are full every year on Saturday morning and Wednesday mornings, and then we also have a junior golf program, as we call it, with instruction, where they also play our par three, and we'll do well over 200 children every year in our junior instructional programs, which is great.
Yeah, and Tim, Tim, you had mentioned too about the nine-hole course. You know, it's a par three. It's quick. As you said, it's kind of an introductory to golf for a lot of people, an introduction to golf for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you're getting, and I know you are, because, you know, I'm one of those guys who's now, you know, working remotely or hybrid working, where, you know, there's an office, but there's also sitting at your house or sitting at a coffee shop doing emails all day. A nine-hole par three course is something that a lot of us can fit in our day now, right?
That's for sure, Mike. And I have to be honest, that phenomenon, you know, was out there for the last decade or so. People saying, "Yeah, nine-hole golf," and we weren't seeing it so much. You know, we were seeing more of the entry-level type player on our course, but COVID did change that, and our rounds almost doubled last year on our par three, and we were seeing a lot of younger career people come out and play, and we'll have one or two guys that have our first tee time every morning come out and play it before they go to work or do whatever they do the rest of the day, and it's been really great. We do reservations online and our over the phone, and it just is a real I'm sorry to say, I'm looking for words here. It's a feather in our cap to see so many people wanting to come and play that are adults and young adults and get that short round of golf in before they do their other routines for the day.
Well, that's terrific, Tim. We really appreciate you being on. And I know, I think one of the other things is before we go is the number of people in their 20s that picked up golf. Maybe we thought that maybe that was going to be a lost generation, and we wondered what was going to happen with the game after the baby boomers weren't around anymore. But it sounds like maybe the 20-year-olds are back.
They certainly are. You know, a few years ago, they were writing about the lost generation we had for 20-somethings in golf. They were going to exports and things that were far more responsive-type activities, or, you know, quick reaction activities, activities that are more strenuous, whether working out at the health club or whatever. And it's really been a great shot in the arm, again, as I say, to see in the last year, young people in their 20s, late teens, really coming out to play and not being timid about it, just being very relaxed and enjoying the game, much like when we were kids, Barry, and so many of us and our friends, you know, caddied and had a natural understanding of the game of golf and a love for the game of golf. We're starting to see that again in what we thought was the lost 20-year-old generation.
Well, and Tim, as we let you go, as Barry said, we really appreciate you joining us, and know you'll have a great time out there with the CDGA's Golf Marathon fundraiser today. I'm sure you get extremely little kids out there with the Lost Mountain, the mini golf, and then you mentioned all of the junior instruction that you do. You probably have kids or age ranges from 3 or 4 all the way up to, you know, who knows how old, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we see kids, and we have a junior rate up until age 15, so kids take advantage of that, and it's really great to see it. And then, of course, love hearing those screams across the parking lot from our miniature golf course when a kid makes a hole in one.
Well, I think that's mainly the parents that drop off the kids at the junior, and then they go over to the mini golf with a secret libation that they bring from their own car. This is me thinking out loud. I apologize, Tim.
He's never done this before, Tim.
I don't want to give anybody any ideas, you know.
Well, I think I saw some of the parents relaxing yesterday while the kids were playing and getting a nice time to talk with their friends. So that, I think you're right there, Mike.
Well, and Tim, we really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us. Sounds like literally fun for all ages out there at Ziegfeld Troy Golf in Woodridge, and we'll hope to see you out there soon.
That'd be great, and really appreciate what you guys do for the game of golf. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming on, Tim. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
That is Tim Troy from Ziegfeld Troy Golf, the site of today's Chicago District Golf Association Golf Marathon fundraiser, 100 holes of golf. Tim explained it very nicely. You get pledges kind of in a fundraising capacity as you play your 100 holes. And as he said, try to keep the blisters to a minimum. But listen, with our wacky Chicago spring weather, today is the day for that, Barry. It's going to be a nice one out there, and certainly should be a good time. It's certainly better than having it be in the 40s and windy, right?
Well, any kind of weather, my friend, any kind of weather, it's just, you know, it's all good. It's all good whenever it happens. I played one of those 100 hole deals, and it was in the rain, and we walked, and that was exciting. And the best thing about it is if the holes are short enough, you know, you could practice your short game. It's yard hole or 120 yards, whoever hits two of those shots in a row. So it's pretty good, or three in a row. So anyway, it's pretty cool. And Tim, I think it was really neat, his little history lesson about his driving range / par 3 / mini golf. It's all of golf and all the levels at one place. And it's sort of, to me, it's representative of golf. We think of golf, so many people think of golf as high-end country club, the high-end country club experience, which so few people really have. But golf is supported by people who don't belong to those clubs. There are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them in the Chicago area. So, and Ziegfeld Troy is one of those places where it's an entry-level situation. Not only entry-level, it's if you want to go play par 3 in the middle of the day and get around in an hour and a half, 2 hours, you can do that. And what's interesting to me is that a lot of these top high-end golf courses now are putting in par threes in addition to the, so for, you know, Pinehurst did it. Sand Valley has done it. Bandon Dunes has done it. These are very high end resort courses, right? So they have put in par three courses. And this is only within the last, I don't know, several years, five, 10 years that they have done that. And they've been legitimizing the par three golf experience, which really had been kind of looked down upon by sort of the golf establishment. And now Tim Troy, and as he said, his father in 1980 would are really happy about that. And they do have sort of a sense of satisfaction that, yeah, par 3 9-hole course is really can be where it's at for a lot of people. So it's cool. It's great. And it was really nice to have Tim on, and a good history lesson for people for Chicago golfers who might not know about it.
Absolutely. Established 1934, Ziegfeld Troy Golf. The website is exactly that, ZiegfeldTroyGolf.com. Fun place for children of all ages, as they say, from the mini golf all the way up to the par 3 course, instruction, driving range, etc. So, Tim, appreciate his time. We will be right back after a quick timeout, Bear. But when we do come back, we will talk to Jamie Wilson. He is playing in the Western Golf Association, or the Evans Scholar Invitational, at the Glen Club this week. He is getting the sponsor exemption from the Western Golf Association. Recently played at University of South Carolina. We'll talk to Jamie next, when we return here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And here we are back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito, with you until 8, 6 to 8 every Saturday morning throughout the golf season. And we appreciate you joining us every Saturday morning. PGA Championship week, Barry. We are talking lots about that. It is also coming up. It is the Evan Scholar Invitational up at the Glen Club, and we're pleased to be talking about that as well. We jump on out to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at apnissan.com. Jamie Wilson joins us now. Jamie played at South Carolina and turning pro earlier this week. He'll play on the sponsor exemption from the Western Golf Association at the Evan Scholar Invitational at the Glen Club this week. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great, Jamie. Thanks very much for being with us. How thrilling was it when you got the call to that you're going to get a sponsor exemption to the Evan Scholar's Invitational, like 2 days after you turned pro?
It was more like 2 hours after I turned pro.
I stand corrected.
I was in an airport in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my mom texted me and said, keep your phone on standby because you might have some good news coming. And I said, okay, well, I'll be ready for a call. And about 20 minutes before I boarded a flight, I got a call from Chris, and he said, you know, we'd love to offer you a spot. And I was very overwhelmed and excited, and I'm very much looking forward to being in Chicago next week.
That's great. What you have an opportunity now at the, on the to play on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is, you know, it is the road to the PGA Tour these days. What do you think about when you go into a tournament like that, as far as the kind of opportunity that it gives you?
As far as this being my first professional event, probably more of a perspective of this being learning, a week of learning. You know, I just want to get comfortable out there, and that's the most important thing. There are going to be fans, a lot of people out there, and on a big stage. And I think the most important thing is being comfortable with my own golf, and that'll allow me to play my best golf. It's just another golf tournament, and I think that's the mindset I have to take into this week.
Yeah, and Jamie, I'm sure it's been quite a period for you here, right? Because you're literally just finishing school, you're just turning pro, and if I remember college correctly, which some of it is hazy, but I think you're probably just finished a few weeks, right?
I finished probably 2 weeks ago. I finished school, and about 5 days ago, 4 days ago, I finished my college golf career. So. Jumping right in.
Quick turnaround, exactly.
Well, you were an All-American last year and then finished fifth in the SEC championship this year. You played in the SEC, so the SEC did play sports last fall and as well as in the spring. Give our audience a little idea of what it was like to play on a college golf team during the COVID situation.
It was very interesting. They were more cautious than you might expect with the virus, which, you know, they leaned towards being cautious, which was good. I can't even tell you how many times I've been COVID tested every week for this entire year. And if we had an event, we got tested, you know, once for the school and then once for the event. So sometimes it'd be twice a week. You know, and then we had to get temperature checked every morning. We had to wear a wristband after being temperature checked at the tournament on, you know, you could put it on your golf bag. You just had to have it on you just to say that you were good. People weren't super crazy about it, but, you know, it was good that they erred on the cautious side. And it was fine because we got to play golf, and that's really all we cared about, was just being able to play golf at a competitive level. We played three events in the fall. Usually we play five. And they were just all conference tournaments. So all 14 teams in the SEC played in those three events, just so we kept it within ourselves. The conference was doing testing, so we knew that we were good, and that's why they wanted to have all SEC tournaments. But as we moved through the season in the spring, we opened up more to outside conference competition, and we just kind of eased into it. We took it slow, and it ended up being a pretty normal full season. I didn't feel like I was being hindered at all.
Right, and life on campus. Do we have the sense that everybody's in a bubble? Were you all isolated, or what was life like? All your classes were online, or what was that like?
Mine were all online. Not everybody had all online classes. A couple of my teammates went in person. We were pretty much in a bubble. We were all extremely cautious with who we were around, where we went, masks. We didn't get vaccinated until the beginning of April. So for, you know, seven months, we were just kind of struggling to stay within ourselves and focus on our team and just, keep gatherings extremely small and just focus on not getting COVID. It was crazy because if you tested positive, you know, you for 10 days after you displayed symptoms would be out. And so that means no events. You can't play. You might miss two events. And for your roommate, it's 14 days. So I lived with my roommate, Jack, and we were both starters this year. And I remember thinking to myself, if I get COVID, not only am I out, I'm taking my roommate out with me.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of pressure, and I'm sure we could tell just from listening to your account there, not a normal or easy way to live, but it sounds like you guys did the right thing and kind of made your way through it here, and now as things open up, I know we're all excited for that to happen, and certainly golf is a way that a lot of people are able to get outside and play, and even last year during the height of lockdown, a lot of us we're able to get out and play and you know, right. be separate right. from each other, right? And still go out and have fun.
Yeah, that's why my golf game almost got better over the quarantine. I was able to maintain solitude, and, you know, the golf course is a safe place. And I think a lot of people resorted to playing golf over the quarantine because it was an activity where you could be around people in a sense and you know, stay socially distant.
Right. Yeah. Well, when you think about what you're going to do next, Jamie, I mean, you're going to get the start next week at the Evan Scholars Invitational at the Glen Club. After you do that, what do you foresee? What does a guy in your position do? Tell the folks what a guy in your position does. I mean, obviously you're a great golfer.
Thank you.
What do you do next?
The number for this week is 25. So the top 25 in Chicago will move on to the next week on the Korn Ferry Tour. That's the goal. That's the number. Because, you know, if you place within that top 25 and get to next week and then, you know, do it again, get to next week and so on and get the ball rolling. You know, it's important to have a tour that you can play on and make money consistently. So that's my goal and hopefully foreseeable future. But if not, then I'll take a learning experience from this week and I'll go back to playing Monday qualifiers into Korn Ferry and PGA Tour events. Some smaller mini tour professional golf events and make some money. And, you know, hopefully if I do some Monday qualifiers, I'll get back in an event again and try to get that ball rolling again.
Yeah. So do you have a caddy for this week at the Glen Club?
I have a local caddy. His name's Garrett.
Okay.
So, he said he's caddied in the event before. This will be his second time, and I trust that. I like that. So hopefully he knows the golf course, and, you know, I trust him.
And last thing for you, Jamie, as we let you go, and we appreciate your time this morning on the scorecard. I have to ask, you're South Carolina, University of, and the tour is down in South Carolina this weekend. Have you ever played at the Kiawah Island Resort? And what do you make of the first 2 days of the PGA?
I have a few times. I actually played a tournament there, 2013. Those scores don't surprise me at all. I mean, 5 under par leading the golf tournament, or 6 under par. That doesn't surprise me at all. If the wind blows, it is such a difficult golf course. What makes it hard is, you know, 1 through 4 go straight north, and then 5 through 13 go south, and then 14 through 18 go north. So if you get a north wind or a south wind, some of those holes are just going to play extremely difficult. And it was blowing, and those guys struggled. And honestly, that's what I wanted to see. I did not want to see a birdie fest out there because I know how hard that golf course is, and I wanted those guys to struggle, and that's what we're getting. So it's awesome to see.
Yeah, it makes for a fun tournament and should be a great weekend. And good luck to you, Jamie, in the Evans Scholar Invitational at the Glen Club next week. We will we'll be paying attention. We'll be watching.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thanks, Jamie, and good luck this week. It'd be great to see you do well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good
That's
one.
That's Jamie Wilson from formerly of the University of South Carolina. You heard in our interview right there, he'll be up here at the Glen Club next week playing in the Evans Scholars Invitational, sponsor exemption from the Western Golf Association. Definitely cool to hear from a different age range, Barry, here on the scorecard, right? I mean,
yeah.
we talk pros a lot, and once in a blue moon, you know, we'll have a college student on or a young just turning pro golfer. I know we had Nick on from the Corn Ferry Tour last year. Nick Hardy, local kid. Always interesting to hear the. And I say, and I'm making myself feel extremely old, but you know, mid 40s. It's like, you know, you're talking to the kids who just graduating college. I guess we are old, right?
But you know, Mike, you're young at heart, and that's the most important thing. You're whatever, how, you're 40 something going on, 40 something is the new 27. Hey, listen, I forgot to mention, I didn't forget, but I'm remembering right now, Patrick Flavin of Highland Park also received a sponsor exemption to play in the Corn Ferry event, the Evans Scholars Invitational up at the Glen Club this week. So Patrick is a good young guy, and he's trying to make it out on the tour, and it's not an easy thing. So it's great that he got a sponsor exemption support from the Western Golf Association.
For sure.
And I did want to mention, Mike, if we have a minute, that this week complimentary admission to the tournament at the Glen Club, courtesy of Serve Pro of Glenview. Mm-hmm. And here's what you have to do if you're a fan. You don't get tickets anymore. There's no such thing as a ticket. That's an old school type of thing. You know, you have to go to esinvitational.com/2021-tickets. So I think if you probably go to esinvitational.com, you can navigate from there. And you sign up, and then they give you a ticket. I think they send you some kind of electronic deal, like the airlines send you when you sign up. And so you go to the C parking lot over there at the Glen Town Center, south parking deck, and there's a little path, and there's signs, and you walk right in there. It's actually a really good setup for fans over there. And so if you feel ill with symptoms of COVID-19, don't come, okay? Stay home don't come out and infect everybody, for the love of God. We're almost done with this, so stop. If you're fully vaccinated, you're not required to wear a mask outdoors.
Come on out, yeah.
Come on out, and if you're unvaccinated, wear a mask indoors and outdoors when you can't be socially distant. If you got the COVID, just go. Don't come, okay? That's it.
And if you want to play hooky from work, definitely go, because that will be a nice.
Yeah, starts Thursday, and there is a youth clinic on Monday at 4:30. Everybody can come. It's free for the youngsters, and it'll be kind of an exhibition type of deal. So there'll be no hands-on teaching, but who cares? It's just a fun thing to do, and you'll have one of the lively pros out there to entertain the kids. It'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and we will talk later in the show to the head pro at Glen Club, Ethan Rausch, site of the Evans Scholar Invitational. Talk to him at 7:40 in our Swing Thoughts segment. We'll talk a little putting with Ethan. But when we come back, Barry, we will talk to Dottie Pepper. You know her. She is the on-course commentator for CBS Golf, multiple-time winner on the LPGA Tour. She's got a new book coming out as well. So we will talk PGA and lots of what's going on at Kiawah Island this weekend with Dottie Pepper, who joins us next on The Scorecard on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.